Anna here. Now, are you an entrepreneur who wants to write and publish a book about your own failures turned successes? Well, good news, that's what my company, Legacy Launchpad, does. Find out more at LegacyLaunchpadPub.com. That's LegacyLaunchpadPub.com. Now, should you do a book, you ask? I think so. Why? Because you're worth it. Now back to the show. Now, the best books are made up of stories. And let's face it, the best stories are about bouncing back from failure. I'm Anna David, obsessed with books, a New York Times bestselling author, and the CEO of Legacy Launchpad Publishing. And I only achieve those things because I picked myself up again after failing and found my way to success. And that makes me uniquely qualified to get the best stories about failure and success out of other people.
Failure is always a learning experience.
So after 6 months, I told him that I Googled sociopath and he had all of the symptoms and I found myself out of job.
At that time, it was supposed to be a side hustle.
Well, the side hustle started to make far more money than the real hustle. So after six months, I quit my job.
Welcome to Fail Your Way to Success.
Hey there. Welcome to the podcast that loves failure. Loves to try to come up with a new way to say that every episode and often fails at coming up with a new way to have a tagline about failure. Today's episode is an interview with Kevin Anderson. He is the CEO and editor-in-chief of Kevin Anderson & Associates. It's a ghostwriting, storytelling, editing, publishing services company, and his team has worked on incredible books like by Brené Brown and Jen Sincero and Simon Sinek. And he is fantastic. He graduated from Harvard summa cum laude. And so you'd look at this guy and you'd go, this guy has never failed. I mean, look at this, right? Not true. In fact, this incredibly successful publishing company started off as a tutoring company, and he doesn't look at it as failures. They're pivots. They're taking what works, discarding what doesn't work, and moving on, maneuvering to the next. So with that, I give you Kevin Anderson. In your early life, did you fail at all? I mean, you grew up in this tiny town.
Yeah, yeah.
Tiny town. Went to Harvard. Were there any failures in there?
Oh yeah. I'm sure lots of failures. The whole journey was none of it was planned, right? I mean, all of it was, I grew up in like the middle of nowhere, like in a small farm. Closest town was a long ways just to get there. Never mind anywhere of merit. And then, you know, Harvard was I worked really hard in undergrad. It was in Canada, at a Canadian, a good Canadian school, University of Lethbridge, but not like a Ivy League type of a school. And at that point, I'd done really well. I'd worked really hard. I was never the student that could just ace exams. It's just because I had to work my butt. I treated it like a job. I would work from 8 a.m. until 5 every day. And I was just like, anytime I wasn't in class, I would study it. And I always had evenings and weekends off, which was nice. So I was never in that crash mentality, that so many students get into. But, you know, it was at that point, I was going down one path. I was going to be a teacher, and that I didn't feel like that was really tugging on me. So I decided to try to do my PhD and be a professor, and then or just kind of just go and just I was going to go travel Europe or something, just do something else. So Harvard was the only place I applied for grad school. And I didn't, I figured it was a pretty much a roll of the dice. I couldn't believe it when I got in. It was actually like a really big surprise. I kind of thought I was going to be bumming around backpacking around Europe or something. But then in terms of getting back to the failures question, I jumped on the opportunity, of course, when I first started in the business, you know, it wasn't anything to do with books. It was, we were tutoring, it was a tutoring company. And we were, I was sending, I was hiring my friends. I got too busy. So I started hiring my friends and we were sending people out and, you know, it was a ton of work. It was small jobs. It was like 1 hour or two at a time. Right. And, you know, I would say that was definitely a failure. I mean, it didn't work. We were making enough to sustain the company, but just barely. And there was a lot of headaches, and it was just like, I was working, like I was getting up at 4 a.m. I was doing everything myself, which is another thing that you shouldn't do when you're trying to grow a company. I was, you know, doing the marketing, I was doing the advertising, I was doing the phones, I was doing management, I was doing my taxes, you know, everything I was doing. Thank God someone reached out and was looking for online editing services, because we changed the whole business accordingly, right? Like, I mean, as soon as they reached out, I didn't even think of it. The light bulb went off when they reached out for it. And, it was only a matter of months before I got rid of all the tutoring stuff and just gave up on it completely. And just went for the editing. Just made so much more sense because we could edit, for anyone around the country. We could do it at home. Didn't have to go to an office. Didn't have to send, you know, I didn't like sending people to people's homes. You didn't ever know who was going to be at the home or not. You also didn't really know, like, it was all my friends, so I trusted the people I was sending out. But, you know, even that, you can only trust people so much when you're, you know, and so there was just, this was just a game changer for us to just go completely online. And at that time, PayPal was relatively new. So that was a way that we could take payments online safely. But yeah, there's a number of moments like that where I started a couple different companies. Some of them have been successful. Some of them haven't been. We tried, there was one company we started that was just based on, it was meant to be just based on formatting for APA formatting, which is like an academic formatting style. And it was an offshoot of one of my other companies that does academic tutoring and editing, but always online, not going in house in person. And yeah, that didn't go anywhere. I think it was a matter of just too big of a marketplace. There was too many too many services that were doing it, that were exporting it overseas and stuff. And so we just couldn't compete. So I don't know, lots of little things like that. I mean, we're always experimenting and trying things out. And you know, if it doesn't work, then you just can't hold on to that stuff. Life is too short. Double down on what's working and just let go of what isn't.
And so when did the company become what it is in this incarnation?
Yeah, 2014, I split the original company into two at that point. I hired a CEO to run what still is Dissertation Editor. And that's a company that just focuses on helping people through the PhD process, statistical analysis, tutoring, all online. And it does do formatting, but it does any kind of formatting. And it's always looped into like the service of helping students through the PhD process. And then I went with the book company, which is KAA, Kevin Anderson and Associates. And yeah, like I said, 2014. And at that time we were, we did a mix of things, but it was basically what we do now, ghostwriting, editing. And, you know, we really put the pedal down on publishing navigation. Once we just realized how many people were so confused about the publishing industry and there was just a lot of different options. There still are. And people just get so confused by it all. And since we work with so many publishers and marketers and publicists and authors, I mean, we work with about 600 authors a year. And so, and all of these, and we help them through everything. So we know a lot of different service providers out there. So we just felt like we were in a good position to advise them on what's a good plan for them and introduce them to who can really help on the other end, whether it's publishing or marketing or publicity. So
How big is your team?
So we have 30 in-house editors, that's mostly in the States. We do have a London office as well, and we have a couple people over there. And then we work with about 500 different ghostwriters, and those are like consistently. We probably only work with about 200, but like it's a pool of 500 that we draw from, because you know some of our ghostwriters work on like 4 to 5 projects with us every year, yeah. Whereas others. because of their specialization, we might only bring them in like once every couple of years. But that's essentially the makeup of the team.
And is it both the writer? So who hires you? I mean, it's always the writer, or do publishers sometimes?
Yeah, publishers do. Yeah, we did like 15 books for HarperCollins Leadership. It was like a whole business, a couple different business series. Sometimes publishers will hire us if that was a series. We've done like spinoffs and stuff as well. And then we'll do like workbooks and different things like that. Different derivative projects for publishers. But most of our clients, if it's through a publisher, it's the publisher that is like recommending us. And then it's actually the author that's hiring us. Same with agents. Agents will recommend us to their authors CA will ask us to like write the proposal or whatever, and then write the book once the proposal sells. But even then, most of our clients are still just authors looking for help from square one, or they've written a manuscript and they don't know where to go next. So they want to have our editors review it, give them feedback, and then help them figure out what their publishing options are. But the contract, in terms of like whose name is on the contract, it's almost always the author. And then rarely, but sometimes the publisher.
And what percentage of your people do you sort of funnel to traditional publishing, and what percentage to non-traditional?
So we do about 40% to traditional publishers, and then 60 to alternatives. When we're funneling to alternatives, we're usually pushing for pretty well-established and, we try to get our clients with really good, solid, non-traditional options, outfits that are going to really take care of them. And it's not going to just be a machine where you're just, putting it in and they're just putting it up on Amazon and there's not really any curation. We want to make sure that there's like an editorial process and like a good design team, people that are actually going to care about the success of the book. Even when it's non-traditional, we're always handing off to outfits that are handling the book much like a traditional publisher would, but it's a paid service rather than an advanced paying deal.
You are preaching to the choir on that. So in terms of, let's talk about your who. So we just talked, your who is writers. What you offer is high end, the top publishing guidance and work. Would you say that's right? I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Yeah. Like what are people like, why do they come to us? Like,
well, who? I'm interested in people's who, what, and why. When I say, okay, who do you serve? Okay. What is it you do and why do you do it?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we serve authors, right? Like any author that just wants the best editorial, they want the best book, they want the best strategy. That's who we're serving. Why? Because there's so many bad actors and there's so many different directions. And there's also just, we just love it. We just love books. Books is just such a great medium. It's just, I really love working with long form, especially in this age where everything is like Twitter bait. And it's just like, I get really frustrated with how information is being, with this information age. I mean, everything is in little bits. You don't really get the full picture. It's all gotcha moments and sound bites. And so I really love the book as just a medium, for relaying information. That's why in terms of who we are inside, it's people who are really passionate about that. People who are really passionate about really like editing, writing books, the message, and authors, and helping bringing up voices that would not otherwise be heard, right? People who aren't professional writers, people who might have, who actually have really amazing things to say, but don't know how to put it all together, and they can't put it into a cohesive message. And so making sure that we're bringing out those voices is really, really an amazing thing to be a part of. And so the people that we attract onto the team are all, they're people who aren't, don't want to be lost in bobblehead meetings. They want to just really work on helping authors express themselves.
So and why do you, why does Kevin Anderson do what he does? Does it relate to anything from childhood? Why? You could be doing a lot of things.
Why yeah, does? That's a great question. And it was never, yeah, and it was never part of a design plan. Like I never, like it wasn't until, like there was never a point like early on where I said, oh, I really want to be in books and I want to, you know, that, you know, it kind of was an opportunity that came up while I was, you know, while I was running a general editing company. I mean, we were doing everything. We were doing resumes. We were doing just all kinds. I mean, I always loved service. I mean, that was the thing that I love. I mean, that's the follow through. I just love helping people. I love teaching. Teaching has always been a big part of it. So editing and teaching, critical thinking, that's always been a passion. My graduate work was in literary theory and criticism. So, you know, I'm really fun to argue with. Just ask my wife. And, you know, so it was like, you know, those kinds of just like digging into the meaning of words was always a passion of mine, and thinking like, what is like, how do we understand what people really mean and what does everything mean anyway? And like that kind of postmodern intersubjectivity, like that stuff really, I really connected with. So it was natural to kind of really, you know, I always loved books. So it was natural to kind of go in that direction. But in terms of like starting a whole business around it, I mean, I never thought of that. That just was something that came, an opportunity that came up that I just said, hey, this is fun. This is interesting. And it seems to be viable. So let's give it a whirl. And you know, and now it's, you know, as we've grown and everything, you know, it's been a long time since I've actually, you know, I haven't edited in years. You know, it's just really, now it's just about, you know, thinking through how can we best serve authors. So it's still about service. It's always about the author. How can we serve them best? How can we give them the best overall service and check all the boxes for them, hand them off to the best people, give them the best writers and editors. And then the other part is how do we keep a team of people who are the best in house? Like, how do we attract them? How do we make them, you know, how do we make them stay, yeah, you know, and bring them on the team in the first place and create a culture and an environment where they love to work and love to serve these clients that have something that they need. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers the question.
It does.
But there was never any grand plan, you know. It's all just been a series of random, seemingly random opportunities and coincidences, and just really recognizing opportunities and jumping on them and learning as you go, a lot of learning as you go.
Speaking of which, as we wrap up, what are your top tips for bouncing back from failure/ learning as you go?
Yeah, good question. I mean, you always learn more from failing than you do from your successes. I mean, I've learned a lot. I mean, I think it depends on which angle you're taking, but I think no matter what, where you're at in your, whether you're a freelancer or whether you're a professional writer or what, or starting and running a business, I think really making sure that you're focusing on the things that you love and are good at, and try and do your best to allocate and leverage other people for the things that you're not. And that can be a really difficult thing to do if you're like, you know, kind of like me, where you're A-type, you know, kind of control freak, always think you got to, you know, be in control of everything. And, you know, but letting go is really what's going to make you the happiest, because you're going to be able to focus on the things that really give you value and meaning. And spend your time and energy doing that rather than, you know, because it's going to take you five times as long to do things you don't like. It's going to take you, you know, you're going to mess it up because you're not good at it. It's not a strength of yours, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I think just in general, that's been something that is, that I've definitely learned over the years, and just really letting go and focusing on what really you're good at and what you really love.
And what if, so sort of how does that relate to bouncing back from failure?
Well, okay. Bouncing back. I mean, that's a good point. In terms of bouncing back, well, I mean, it's all about recognizing what you did wrong and not repeating it, right? And then just having faith in the things that you did right, you know, like look at the things that worked and believe that part, you know. I think the biggest mistake that a lot of people make is to just give up entirely. Like if it doesn't work, something doesn't work, it's like they just throw the baby out of the bathwater, right? And they just go in a different direction. But a lot of times there were things that really were working well And it's a matter of just figuring out how to, you know, how to work around those positives without repeating the negatives. So I think taking that kind of approach when you failed and how to bounce back, just, you know, really focusing on what you did right. And again, like I guess I said a couple of times, just like really doubling down on that part, you know, yeah. The parts that you know and feel good about, and you know, are working, you know, and taking that kind of an angle and letting go and really being able to let go. It can be really hard to let go, especially if you felt like, you know, felt really attached to whatever it was. But I think it's important to move forward, to really try to really narrow your focus on what's working.
Well, and I loved because what you made me think of is if you're considering something a quote unquote failure, it's sort of like that thing, like there can be 100 people smiling at you in a room and you only see the person scowling. In the same way, it can be so easy to categorize the entire thing as a failure. Okay, this company didn't work. I'm not meant to be an entrepreneur, whatever it is. And as you were talking about pivoting from the tutoring company to a publishing company, it's right. Not sort of being so extreme in your response.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just think about what's that saying? They say that it takes, you know, it takes 10 positive comments to erase one negative one or whatever. And none of that's based in reality, right? Like one person says one thing about, you know, negative to you, and it takes 10 more positive affirmations to bring you back up to that level. But, you know, there's nothing real about that. You know what I mean? The negative thing was, it was you making it into tenfold. It wasn't actually, you know, it was actually only one out of 10. So, you know, when you're looking at your vocation or business or whatever, you got to think about that way. And it is really hard to hear, like, you know, and I've had plenty, you know, I've had clients, you know, yell at me, say they were going to do terrible things to me and my children, you know, because they thought, like, just, you know, for no reason, right? Totally off base. Thought, you know, we're, you know, like an example, like one, you know, there was a manuscript that had, this was going way back. There was a manuscript where they hired us to edit it, and then we edited it, and then they couldn't get a publisher, and they blamed us. They were like, okay, this is your fault. You, if we hired you, then this should definitely get a publisher. And they were so upset about it. I say they, it was an individual, it was a person, it was a man. And he, demanded a full refund. And this was like it wasn't a huge project, but it was like $6,000 or $7,000, wanted a full refund because even though we spent all this time editing it, because they didn't get a publisher, they thought that was it. And, you know, that took an immense, and it got really nasty. Like they were just saying horrible things. They were going to drown, you know, they're going to post all these things online and started, but you know, it was, it took a huge emotional toll. Right. And, you know, ultimately, and I've learned from this in the past since then, you know, I mean, you just get them the refund and get out of there. Just do whatever you can to appease them and just get out of it. Cause it's taking so much of your energy away. It's like, and it feels like your whole, you know, it makes you question everything, right? It makes you question like, oh man, like everything feels bad about what you're doing when you have someone that really comes after you like that. And you just can't let those kind of negative things, pollute the rest of the pool, right? It's easy to do that, and it's easy to do that in business when you have a couple failures and you just want to give up on everything, because you know it taints the whole thing. But it's it's important to not look at it that way.
Brilliant. Well, Kevin, if people want to find out more about you and about your company, where should they go?
Yeah. KAwriting.com is the website. There's a lot of information on there. You can always find me as well on LinkedIn, or reach out to us at info@kawriting.com. And yeah, be happy to chat with anybody who has questions.
Well, thanks so much, Kevin. And thanks you guys for listening.
Thanks for listening to Fail Your Way to Success. Now, if there's anything I love more than a failure to success story, it's a review. So I hope you'll think about leaving one. For more information about the show, go to failyourway.com. And for more information about publishing a book about how you failed your way to success, or just to find out more about what I do, go to legacylaunchpadpub.com.